This is Jeff Drake from the Joneses, and you're listening to the Pantheon Podcast Network.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Martin Popoff here. Welcome back again to another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We've got this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. It's all music all the time. Available on Spotify, iTunes, Simplecast, and 40 other podcast platforms thereabout. All right. So this is episode 175. I'm calling this Standalone Singles. Now, we know there's many, many standalone singles out there. This has actually, you know, become a term, standalone singles. And maybe there's a dash in it, maybe not, whatever. I think I'm leaving it out just because of, you know, file naming and stuff like that. Anyways, this is definitely a term. And of course, what it means is singles that came out by bands that were, you know, deliberately not meant to be put on the studio album or come from the studio album that just came out or go on the one that's coming up. Now, obviously, you know, most of these, they are singles, so most of them show up on compilations, some sooner than others. But yeah, there are lots of these, so this isn't really a show just about, hey, here's some standalone singles. This is more like ones I wanted to celebrate because they either made it a habit or they had some particularly prominent ones that this was a part of their business model, more so rather than just, you know, one or two or whatever. I know we had an old episode. There's only one episode, I think, that relates to this. It's the one where I talked about songs that were added to like greatest hits albums just to gussy up the sales prospects of it. You know, brand new songs, Me, Wise Magic, or the Sammy Hagar ones. We got David Lee Roth, we got Sammy Hagar, both, you know, both had greatest hits albums and new songs put on them. So that's the only episode that sort of relates to that. But, and you know, I was thinking I could almost make an episode, and I might, celebrating the bands who have the best B-sides. I don't think I've done anything like that. So this is kind of in between those two concepts. Let's get started. I mean, I do like this idea of this happening. When it happens, it always feels a little exciting, a little extra, like the band is actually making extra, you know, bona fide, legitimate product. They're trying harder. You know, they're showing a sense of prolificness, you know, beyond the albums. And, you know, with some of these bands, there's this throughput that, hey, there's a lot of this, and it's really cool. And that's kind of what we're celebrating. So let's play our first selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Rolling Stones with Honky Tonk Women. All right, so the theme, I wanted to put the Stones in here because basically I think they have two of these at least that are really, really prime. This is one of them. So Honky Tonk Women came out July 4th, 69. And the other one, you know, I'm not going to play it, but the other one that's a big one in here is Jumpin' Jack Flash. So that's May 24th, 68. So we're in that whole Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers period, that 68 to 61 period. I want to call it that. I want to call those three a trilogy even. You know, I don't know if you put Exile in there or not. I feel that that's a trilogy, and I feel like Honky Tonk Women and Jumpin' Jack Flash, which is older, it's a pretty heavy song for 1968, actually. It's one of the band's riffier songs. But it's pretty cool that they've got these two non-LP singles, and they're actually two of the band's most famous songs of all time. Obviously, this one's known for, you know, I just did that Goldmine top top 20 Bill Wyman Rolling Stone songs. This one is known for that cool thing where, you know, the bass doesn't join in on the first verse. The bass comes in when the chorus comes in, which is really good, and it makes the song sort of explode. I think I covered that in this 30-second clip here. But yeah, so this is a huge song, and Jumpin' Jack Flash, you know, it's amazing. You almost got to really think and remind yourself that these were not album tracks. It's a pretty cool thing. You know, and Stones ostensibly also, I didn't kind of check this really carefully, but 19th Nervous Breakdown, We Love You are kind of like this as well. So those are two good ones. And again, I'm doing this kind of chronologically, so I wanted to mention, you know, Beatles, again, I didn't check all these exactly how they work. And, you know, we also, with this concept, run into the whole idea of the British version of the album and then the American version of the album, and then, you know, which is sometimes semi a compilation, and how quick they happen. But apparently all these Beatles songs fit into this concept. Lady Madonna, I Feel Fine. The Ballad of John and Yoko, She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand. We Can Work It Out, Paperback Writer, Hey Jude. So that's pretty cool. The Kinks, you know, to keep it with the theme of this British invasion and this early stuff. Apparently Tired of Waiting for You, Autumn Almanac, Dead End Street, Days, All Day and All the Night. So All Day and All the Night. So you've actually got one of the seminal Kinks songs in the invention of heavy metal. Of course, the other one being You Really Got Me. So yeah, pretty cool. You know, that just kind of proves that this obviously was more of a theme in the 60s. You know, before the psych era, the whole singles thing was a huge market in itself. You know, singles were almost a legitimate thing as albums. And of course, they even say the album era begins with psychedelic rock and prog and heavy metal, classic rock, all that kind of stuff. You know, the first, well, maybe not the first really cool album covers, but you get the drift, right? So yeah, singles could sell hundreds of thousands and millions of copies. They could be a big, big deal. So there you go. So those are the kind of early ones. Yeah, just a little more on Honky Tonk Women. Apparently, yeah, so it was released in the UK the day after the death of founding member Brian Jones. Wow. With You Can't Always Get What You Want as the single's B-side. Wow, what a strong, strong single that is, that's for sure. In the UK, it remained in the charts for 17 weeks, peaking at number one for 5 weeks. Remains the band's last single to reach number one in their home country. Song also topped the US Billboard charts for 4 weeks from 23rd of August, 69. Wow. So yeah, it's been on a ton of compilations, of course. And Jumpin' Jack Flash, same sort of thing. Let's see, Rolling Stone called it a supernatural Delta blues by way of swinging London. But yeah, pretty, like I say, pretty heavy, pretty riffy song. You know, this is not a band who's known for their riffs, particularly, right? It's more chords and boogie woogie rock and all that kind of stuff. But so yeah, there you go. Stones is in here because of two really, really massive ones. All right, let's take a listen to our second selection here. This is The Who with Joined Together. Okay, so I love The Who being a part of this as well, because, you know, Joined Together, I like the idea of this. We're already even in the classic rock era of The Who, and they do actually Join Together and Relay as singles right around the same time. So June 16th, 72 for this one. Relay is also 72. I don't have the exact date here, but you know, these were both you know, semi considered part of the aborted Lifehouse project, right? So you know, we're in that space between you know, who's next, this big, you know, very successful but single, you know, shorter than Tommy, you know, classic album, and leading up to another double album in Quadrophenia. So this is that space where, you know, there's a lot of turmoil in the band. There's a lot of money problems and drugs and drinking problems. And Pete is constantly having to do stuff just to keep the band in the spotlight, keep them working, keep Keith not dying kind of thing. You know, Relay was not particularly successful, but Joined Together is considered, you know, a pretty top Who song. But yeah, people do tend to forget it because it falls through the cracks because it's not on an album. So every time, you know, all of us who are guilty of all these YouTube shows go on and talk about all these albums and rank albums, you know, songs like this get kind of left out. But I also wanted to put The Who in here because they participate in this whole British invasion thing in a big way too. Magic Bus, July 27th, 68 is one of these. The Seeker, March 1970. Big songs, both of these. Pictures of Lily, big song, April 22nd, 1967. And I Can't Explain, one of the most iconic Who songs of all time. Their first single, it's not on the debut. You know, it's not on My Generation in the UK or the US. You know, obviously, all of these, you know, show up on many, many compilations as we move forward through time. But it's really cool that The Who were doing a lot of this, and a lot of their songs were really big songs. Yeah, just a little more on Joined Together. It was backed by a live and unedited version of Marvin Gaye's Baby Don't You Do It, recorded at San Francisco Civic Auditorium. Successful, reaching number 9 on the British Singles Chart, number 17 on the US Billboard Hot 100. And it's just really got that good Who quality of you know, the band playing, you know, like they sound like they're in separate rooms, but very together at the same time with all that personality. It's got that, it's got kind of the Honky Tonk Women thing where there's spare instrumentation and then it picks up when you get to the chorus kind of thing, which is kind of cool. And I think I captured that in this music clip as well. All right, this episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners. You can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/5songs. That's better, HELP.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Episode. All right, let's move on to our third selection. Take a listen to this. This is Sweet with Ballroom Blitz. Wow, what a dramatic song. So many parts in this. It's deceptively quite complicated, this song. 80 million plays on Spotify. What I love about the Suite with this concept, they are absolutely right, you know, in the thick of doing this sort of thing. So I actually pulled out my early Suite albums here. And the cool thing about this is, so this band has a debut album with the ridiculous title, Funny, Funny How Sweet Coco Can Be. And it's basically completely mellow and very glam poppy, like very light glam poppy. So that's 1971. But they literally don't even have another album all the way up to Sweet Fanny Adams and what they spend their time doing in between. So they actually have a sort of album. You know, in America, they put out this album called The Sweet, featuring Little Willie and Blockbuster. Kind of ridiculous. So it came out on Bell, 1973. But it's not really an album. It's not really considered a Suite album. It's essentially a compilation. Because and they had compilations in Europe as well. Because they had to have compilations. Because what the Suite does, which is really interesting, is in that period between being a light, really kind of embarrassing sounding, almost like a boy band, total bubblegum band on that first album, and becoming kind of like a serious hard rocking heavy metal machine on Sweet Fanny Adams and Desolation Boulevard, is they're making all these really kind of cool heavy glam singles that are standalone singles because, like I say, there's just no album. There's no album at all. So you've got Little Willie, which was a big hit, and you know, that's the first time I ever heard the Sweet. I heard that on a KTEL sampler. I think it was about 1973. Alexander Graham Bell, Wigwam Bam, Blockbuster, Hellraiser, Teenage Rampage. Not one of those is on an actual Sweet album. And you know, they've got this this songwriting production team of Chapman and Chin, Nicky Chin, Mike Chapman. So they're writing, you know, these songs essentially, most of them, and they're all like, they sound like Kiss and BTO. They don't sound like the really poppy stuff of the early album, and they don't sound like the tricky, you know, more accomplished heavy metal that I'm about to talk about. So that's really cool. They have a whole pile of these standalone singles, and they have B-sides that aren't on the albums. And some of those are the tricky kind of heavy metal sort of stuff. So when you get to the Sweet album, it's got, what do we got? Little Willie's there, Wigwam Bam is there. So Done Me All Right is uncharacteristic of those more glammy BTO Kiss sort of things. It's more of like technical, proper, modern heavy metal. Hellraiser's another one of those great irresistible heavy glam ones. Blockbuster's a heavy glam one. But you've got Need a Lot of Lovin', which is one of those heavy tunes. Man from Mecca, Spotlight, You're Not Wrong for Loving Me. So what happens is they put out an album called Sweet Fanny Adams, and then they put out an album called Desolation Boulevard. And those are both UK albums, 74. Is it 74, 75? Anyways, so what happens is, and what happens with so many of these kinds of bands that we're talking about here, especially the ones I'm about to talk about for our last selections, is when you get that U.S. version of the album, you know, the label kind of looks and says, "Wow, there are all these kind of cool singles and stuff. We ought to do some combining and using some of those." So what happens? The big one, you know, the song I just played, Ballroom Blitz. So, you know, incredibly, Ballroom Blitz is not on Sweet Fanny Adams or Desolation Boulevard. It's Sweet's biggest song. I mean, you could call this band almost like a one-hit wonder based on that song. I mean, they had some other hits as well, Action Fox on the Run, you know, and all those glam things as well, but mostly in Europe. But the point is, and this is their only album that ever went gold in the States, the U.S. version of Desolation Boulevard. So my point is, the reason it went gold is Ballroom Blitz is on that album. It's the first track on the album. It was an absolutely Sweet were the it band in 1975. I remember the roller skating rinks. It was such a classic for that. What an amazing song. You still hear it in sports events. But yeah, and the rest of the album is essentially a combination of Sweet Fanny Adams and the UK version of Desolation Boulevard. And as I look at the track list, nothing there really applies in terms of like these being the standalone singles. They didn't bring forward, for example, even though this is on Capitol and the Sweet was on Bell, they didn't bring forward any of those songs, which is kind of interesting. I think they probably could have had a secondary or third hit had they brought in, you know, your Little Willie or Wigwam Bam or Blockbuster or Hellraiser or Teenage Rampage onto this record. But the rest of it's more of the, you know, the modern heavy metal. Fox on the Run kind of fits in that mold of those kinds of songs. But the rest of it's pretty much, this is a really high quality heavy metal album for 1975, especially the likes of No You Don't, Sweet F.A., Set Me Free, and Into the Night. Those are all really, really good heavy metal for 1975. But yeah, like I say, the only reason Sweet had a gold record in America, Ballroom Blitz, it's not even on a UK album. Pretty incredible. All right, let's move on to our fourth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is The Clash with Complete Control. Okay, so The Clash, definitely one of these bands that has these standalone singles and made a habit of it. You know, later on they had, and I don't even like these ones very much, but later on they had This Is Radio Clash and Bank Robber. But Complete Control is one of these irresistible, gorgeous, one of the greatest Clash songs, probably better than most of the things on the debut album. You know, I love Give Them Enough Rope, London Calling, I love Sandinista, one of my favorite bands of all time, but Complete Control is one of these great, you know, mid-period, early period, you know, after they get that debut album going, they've got that, this is all these best songs are happening in that sort of 78 period, right? But, so you've got this one, and you've got Clash City Rockers, with the B-side being Jail Guitar Doors, which is practically a Clash single in itself because it's amazing as well. It's one of the greatest Clash songs. But another big high-profile one was White Man at Hammersmith Palais, backed with The Prisoner, so again, a non-LP track on the back. Their cover of I Fought the Law was a pretty big celebrated single. It's so good. The only reason I don't consider it one of the greatest Clash songs of all time is because they didn't write it, but it's amazing. It sounds great. And Complete Control is great. I don't like City of the Dead very much, the B-side, but again, so what happens here, just like the Sweet situation, so there's a UK version of the album, The Clash, and I always kind of forget this story, but my Canadian one that I bought as a kid, I believe matches exactly the UK version. I'm pretty sure about how that works. But the big deal is that when The Clash comes out in the US, they swap out Deny, Cheat, Protex Blue, 48 Hours, and the original White Riot, you know, all good songs, but all very kind of tight and frantic and punky. And they swap in the song we just played, Complete Control. Clash City Rockers, a re-recorded White Riot. They do put on White Man and Hammersmith Palais. They do put on I Fought the Law and Jail Guitar Doors. So, man, what an incredible, incredible album. Really, the U.S. version of the album is quite a bit substantially better than the original intended, God-intended version of The Clash. But it really doesn't hang together very well because you really do hear, you know, the different styles of the band, the advancement of the band, the different production across all these. So it's very uneven production-wise because of that. But there you go. That's what you know, you have these standalone singles, and the band can be rewarded later by using these standalone singles on literally an official version of the debut and compilations, blah, 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 as time goes on. Okay, let's move on to our fifth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is The Cure with Boys Don't Cry.
But I know. Some I have said too much, been too unkind. I try to laugh about it, cover it all up with lies. I try to laugh about it, hiding my tears in my eyes. Cause boys don't cry.
Okay, so we have a very similar situation to The Clash here. So the original Cure album in the UK was called Three Imaginary Boys. But then when the album came out in North America, so that's Canada, the US, and Australia, they had different cover art and it was called Boys Don't Cry. I remember getting this as a new release. But so you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you've got 8 songs that are common to both albums. On Three Imaginary Boys only, you get the band's really weird cover of Jimi Hendrix's Foxy Lady. You know, they're kind of being this strange post-punk band. Very hard to describe, but they're being a band that's influenced by what? Early XTC. You know, they claim to be influenced by Bowie, but you don't hear really any Bowie in there. I would say you hear early XTC, maybe a little bit of Buzzcocks. Magazine maybe already. Joy Division is kind of really doesn't exist in a big way yet, but you know, maybe some Joy Division in there as well. Joy Division really you know, influences them 2 or 3 albums later, you know, certainly up into Pornography and Faith. But yeah, so an odd band, you know, very tight, small, frantic playing, very bass guitar oriented, which is a signature of post-punk. Anyways, so on Three Imaginary Boys, you get Foxy Lady, Meat Hook, So What, It's Not You, and the Weedy Burton. But on Boys Don't Cry only, you know, the other version, the improved version, quote unquote, you do get this song, Boys Don't Cry, which is a standalone single. You also get the standalone single, Jumping Someone Else's Train. You get Plastic Passion, World War. Killing an Arab is also a standalone single. So so just like The Clash, you get these big known songs in the UK added to the US version. And the band doesn't stop there. They have... first of all, this is a band that, you know, if I do that, you know, bands with the greatest B-sides, the Cure definitely has got to go in there because they had a ton of non-LP B-sides. But the big thing that happens next with the Cure is that essentially between the super, super dark and depressing Pornography album from 82 all the way up to, so now we go up to The Top in 84, which, you know, the sound changes quite a bit. The weird thing is right in between, they're doing a bunch of these standalone singles, and then they all get kind of put together on this long EP, short album, 28 minutes, whatever you want to call it. It's a compilation called Japanese Whispers, comes out December 16th, 1983. But on that, you've got the likes of Let's Go to Bed, big single for the band, The Love Cats, big single for the band, The Walk, you've got The Dream, Just One Kiss, The Upstairs Room, Speak My Language, Lament. And the crazy thing is, you know, essentially the theme is, you know, Robert Smith is said to have done this sort of as a lark, as a response to all the happy, you know, synth pop, new romantic music and stuff coming out. But, you know, possibly he wanted to do just something super different. Pornography was very draining on the band. They were doing a lot of drugs and a lot of drinking. It's really, really a dark album. And at this point, does the band even exist? You know, there's a few interviews. It's like, oh, we're down to a duo and all this. And plus he's off. He does the glove with Steve Severin. You know, so he does this one side project album, but he's also touring guitarist for Susie and the Banshees, and not only touring guitarist, he shows up on their double album Nocturne, but he also is on Hyena, a studio album. There's only like four people there. He's the only guitarist, so he's part of Susie and the Banshees. I love Susie and the Banshees, man. What a great band. So essentially, there's this weird period of The Cure between Pornography and The Top, where A, does the band exist? B, oh look, they're putting out a compilation album of hit singles that weren't on any albums. And C, he's in Susie and the Banshees. So pretty interesting. So yeah, this is a band that that absolutely participated robustly and enthusiastically and had a lot of success with this idea of standalone singles. All right, honorable mentions. This is just kind of a list. I haven't checked all these exactly, and they all fit in various ways. But Magazine, A Song for Under the Floorboards, Buzzcocks, Harmony in My Head, Promises, Orgasm Addict, Everybody's Happy Nowadays, What Do I Get? So they were big participants in this whole thing. The Cure, Robert Smith, is kind of influenced a little bit by that. I mean, this is the UK climate as well, right? UK is kind of a singles climate. The Jam, Strange Town, Going Underground, Roxy Music, Pajamarama, Jealous Guy, Perubu, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, Final Solution, two of their most famous songs. The Smiths participated in this. Sheila, Take a Bow, Shakespeare's Sister, Ask, Shoplifters of the World Unite, Panic, William, It Was Really Nothing, Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now, The Adverts, Gary Gilmore's Eyes, Deep Purple, Kind of Strange Kind of Woman, Black Knight, Fleetwood Mac, Oh Well, Tom Petty, Mary Jane's Last Dance, David Bowie, John, I'm Only Dancing. You know, now we're getting into a little bit of, you know, bands that didn't do it a lot. I'm not really celebrating them here. You know, they are honorable mentions for a reason. Pink Floyd in the early days was part of this. Arnold Lane, See Emily Play, Elvis Costello, Watching the Detectives, Radio Radio, two of their biggest songs, his biggest songs. Wire did a few. Manic Street Preachers did a few. The Damned I almost put into this. You know, there's Eloise, History of the World's part of a greatest hits thing, but I almost put them in because they actually are more like B-sides, but two of my favorite Damn songs of all time are Suicide and Burglar. Go check those out. Unbelievable. Joy Division has one of the biggest ones of these of all time with Love Will Tear Us Apart. So there's some honorable mentions for you. If you like this episode, of course, and want to support future episodes, go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or a pint. On that front this week, I would like to dearly thank David Barsky, Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Todd Evans, David Fisher, Carl Isaacson, Monty Olson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Mark Priest, and Steven Samchunk. MartinPopoff.com for the books. You know, I've got the two Alice Cooper. I've got the Damned one, which you will love that book if you want. If you're curious about the Damned, that will turn you into one of the biggest Damned fans of all time. I basically review every single Damned song. So that's available at MartinPopoff.com. You know, I sign these and send them out from here. I've got MartinPopoff.ca and my art pal site for these drawings I've been doing of all these rock stars as well. And obviously we've got the Contrarians YouTube show as well. You know, always lots going on. Marco and myself putting those things together, the panels and whatnot. Some of you that I've thanked here have been on those panels, and it's one of my funnest things to do on the Contrarians. So there you go. You know, if I'm going to leave you any homework here, you know what? If I'm going to leave you any homework here, I'm going to go right off the five here and go play the Damned, Suicide, and Burglar. You will have a blast listening to those two. Thanks again. See you next time.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.